Good morning, family. I trust that you're all doing well. Can you believe that we're more than 5 weeks into the lockdown and level four happened on Friday? And I trust that some of you got around to exercising and getting out a bit, and maybe some of you have even started to go back to work. But what a privilege, what a joy to know Jesus in these times. Isn't that so? This morning, I want to carry on with our series called Signs of the Times. Because it's so important that we understand what times we are truly living in. We're living in interesting, weird, wonderful times where we need to walk by faith and not by sight, because we've got no clue as to what is happening truly and how long this pandemic will last, what the future holds. But we can hold on to the Word of God, isn't that so? We can hold on to His presence and hold on to His truths in this time. And it's important that we understand what Jesus said to His disciples when He spoke about the signs of the end times. And so last week I spoke about guarding our hearts, and specifically against, you know, deception, and especially troubled times and the fear that comes in. And specifically we talked about finances, which often brings a lot of pressure in our lives. And so I trust that you are blessed about the message I shared about guarding your heart. And the second thing I want to speak about is found here in verse 9. So we finished off Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 last week. So let's read from verse 9 to verse 13. Jesus speaking here to His disciples about the signs of the times and when He will be coming back. And He says in verse 9, He says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved." Quite a challenging piece of scripture there about a lot of terrible things happening. And you know, the work of the devil is so evident in the days that we live in. And the work of the devil has been evident since the beginning, when He tried to deceive and got it right to deceive Adam and Eve and to get the people of God on His side. And He's doing exactly the same, and He knows His time is limited. And He's doing so much to steal one thing from us, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in God and His goodness and His love. The devil's plan is to steal our faith, and he knows many times he's not going to kill our faith totally, but he will try to do as much as possible to get our faith to grow cold. And he does a few things specifically, and Jesus mentions them, yeah, specifically he mentions the word hatred. The devil loves to bring an increase of hatred in these last days, to draw people away from the love of God. He does cause offense in these times. He causes misunderstandings. He causes betrayals. I mean, we know that Judas himself betrayed Jesus. Jesus still loved him to the end, but he was the one that was going to betray him. The devil loves to cause misunderstanding, confusion, betrayal, deception, all of these bad things. And ultimately, he causes lawlessness to abound and sin to abound, because that's who he is. He's the father of lies. He's the father of all sin and all lawlessness. And so the devil's plans in the times that we're living in is to cause all these things to happen. And Jesus promised them. He said, this stuff is going to happen. And that is the sad thing. Some people will depart from the faith. Some people's faith will grow cold. You see, when our faith in Jesus Christ fades or grows cold, our love also grows cold. Isn't that so? And it doesn't mean it's going to die completely, but it grows to a place of lukewarmness. And eventually, the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 24, the love of many will grow cold. And some even will depart from the faith. Galatians 5 verse 6 says an amazing thing. It says that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It's not about the stuff we do. It's not about right or wrong. It's about faith working through love. Isn't that so? And the devil wants to steal our faith. He wants to cut us off from our relationship with Jesus. And ultimately what he wants to do is to get us away from the love of God and allow our love to grow cold. And so I want to talk this morning about how do we stand strong in these terrible times. How do we stand strong in times of serious oppression, serious opposition, serious persecution, serious tribulation, serious lawlessness. How do we stand strong in these times? And it's not going to get better. The end times will increase until Jesus comes back. And so how do we endure to the end? Have you ever thought that or thought about that question and asked the Lord, how do we endure these times? Because he says those who endure to the end will be saved. So how do we endure? I believe there's one word. It starts with an L. L-O-V-E. And it's called love. We stand strong in these times, in these end times, by love and through love. You see, God is love. Amen. Say that again. God is love. And I want you to maybe pause this video and just discuss in your groups where you are is, how do you understand the concept of love? How do you understand what love is? Discuss just quickly, when we talk about love and we talk about God is love, what comes to mind first? Just have a little bit of a discussion about love, and then we'll carry on afterwards. The title of my message this morning is called Burning with Love. I'm going to say it again, burning with love. And you'll see now why I've given it that specific title. But in your discussion around love, I'm sure you started to think about love a little bit and started to understand or wrestle with your own understanding of what love is. You see, this week, I woke up a couple of mornings this week and just experienced again, you know, going outside into the beautiful garden, the blessing that we have of a garden. Some people maybe don't even have a garden, but just to get out and experience the fresh air, experience the beauty of the green grass, the birds chirping, the sometimes cold, sometimes warm air. But you experience God's love, you experience this peace and this incredible love of God. I don't know if you've had that this week or ever in your life where you've just walked outside in the fresh cool of the morning and experienced God's love, because God wants to show us his love. It's a powerful love that almost gets our attention. Isn't that so? When you walk out and you wake up in the morning, even you don't even have to go outside, but you experience this love of God. It's a powerful love if you understand that it's truly from God. And then you look at the cross again and you experience what Jesus did for us. The blood that flowed for us and the forgiveness that flowed through the incredible pain and suffering that Jesus had to go through. Then you realize that Jesus did it for you and for me specifically. His love was willing, or he was willing to die because of his love for us. That, my friend, is burning love. And we can have it every day. We can have the burning love of God every day in order for us to burn with love. There's an amazing story in Matthew chapter 25, from verse 1 to verse 13, which I encourage you to read this week if you haven't read it yet. But I was taken to it a couple of times in our prayer times. You know, when we stand on the wall on a Tuesday and on a Friday, then the Lord took me to the scripture a couple of times in the last few weeks. And I just want to remind us again, because it's also a story of the end times. Jesus talks about these five virgins, or 10 virgins, 5 have their oils filled with, or their lamps filled with oil, and 5 have their lamps, seems to be burning, but they're not filled, they don't take extra oil with them. And it's quite a sad story, because it's talking about believers, it's talking about the kingdom of God can be likened to these 10 virgins. It's almost like there's a separation here. Everyone had lamps, but there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. And they all slumbered and they all slept. And then suddenly there was an announcement saying, the bridegroom is here, the bridegroom is here, wake up, be ready. And 5 of them had enough oil. And they went in and the other 5 realized that their lamps were going out, which meant that they had oil. There was obviously a little bit of oil in their lamps, but it says their lamps were going out. So they were burning, but then their lamps seemed to have gone out and they needed more and they didn't get enough oil. And the bridegroom said to them, depart from me, I don't know you, I never knew you. So quite a sad and a story that we need to be alert about and wake up about, because it's truly the signs of the times. The wise could go in, but the foolish did not. And that lamp going out almost speaks to me about a love that is growing cold, similar to what chapter 24 speaks about. Lamps going out, love growing cold. As opposed to our light shining and burning, or a light that is not shining is a love that is not burning. Isn't that so? And those were the five foolish virgins. Their lamps were going out because their love was growing cold. Their light was not shining. Their love was not burning. And on the other hand, you had the five wise virgins whose lamps seemed to be burning. Their love seemed to be burning hot and bright. And so I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk and use this parable that Jesus spoke about, oil in a lamp shining. So I want you to think about that oil lamp shining versus no oil lamp not shining, love growing cold. Lawlessness will abound, sin will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And Jesus doesn't want us to be the five foolish virgins. He wants us to be those five wise virgins that do go into him and meet him one day. Because death is going to come to all men. Isn't that so? And so how do we this morning? I just want to mention four loves or four concepts of this love. When we talk about this love that must be burning and that we must be burning with love, what is this love that we must be burning with? And what is this love that was shining brightly? Because I believe that the shining talks about the love. The shining bright and the burning that we're supposed to burn with is to burn with love. We're supposed to be consumed by his love and for his love and through his love. And so what is this love? The first thing I believe that God wants us to realize when he mentions this love that he wants us to be burning hot with and not growing cold with is our love for him, our love for God. You know, if we want to love someone more, guess what? It's the same as a marriage. You need to get to know that person more. Think of any relationship in your life. How have you grown to love that person more? You've basically grown to know the person more. Isn't that so? In my marriage, if I think about my wife, I mean, I loved her and I was infatuated and in love with her at the beginning. But, you know, I've grown to love her so much. She's an incredible person because I've discovered who she is. I didn't have a clue who she was at the beginning. Because often you see the outward and you see a few character traits and you like them, but you don't really know that person. But the more you get to know them, the more you spend intimate time with them, you get to know their beauty and their glory. And it's the same with God. God wants us to love him more by knowing him more, by getting to know him more. And how do we get to know God more? By his word. He's got incredible revelations in his word. Isn't that so? And I want to ask you this morning, how much do you know God? How much do you love him? Because your love for him will be equal or in same proportion to how much you know him. And how many revelations you have of who he truly is. Because we can know about God, but do we really know him? And maybe you know about God this morning. Maybe you know that he's a God somewhere, or he's got a big stick and he's looking to check if you've sinned or not sinned this week. Maybe that's all you know about him. But I want to say the God we serve is a God who's a mysterious God. He wants to be found. He wants to be discovered. He's a God whose ways are higher than ours, but he's an amazing, beautiful, awesome, mighty God. So the love that must be burning in us, first of all, is a burning for him to know him more. Amen. His word and his presence are so crucial for us to get to know him. So how is your love for God? Is your love burning for God? And do you know him with a burning love? And do you understand his love and his ways? So that's the first love, is our love for God. The second love that I believe the Bible talks about is truly a love for ourselves. And it's not a selfish love. You know, I know the book of Timothy 2, Timothy 3 says, many will in these last days become lovers of themselves. But that is talking about a selfish love, a love that is born almost out of pride, where we exalt ourselves. And I'm not talking about that love this morning. I'm talking about a love that we have from God for ourselves, because God loves us so much. Amen. So many of us have been labeled in our lives. Many of us need to forgive ourselves. Maybe you're listening here this morning or watching, and you need to forgive yourself. You need to learn to love yourself more in order that you can love others and in order that you can love the world around us, which I'll get to now. So it's not about exalting yourself. It's a love that comes from humility, a love that comes from understanding who God is and who He is in your life and how much He loves you. So you need some people this morning listening and watching. You need to forgive yourself. You need to be soft on yourself. Be easy on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Start to love yourself. Take off those labels. Take off those curses that have been spoken to you through the generations. Take them off. Remove those labels. And allow God to love you. And allow, ask God to help you to love yourself. Because if we can't love ourselves, we're going to struggle to love others. The Bible is very clear about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And it's a love that comes from God. And that's why the first one is so important. So to love God is important, to understand how to love Him and who He is, but then to love yourself, secondly. And then the third thing that I believe we need to be burning with is a love for the body of Christ. And it sounds so weird, but you know how many people are offended by church and by the body of Christ? And ultimately it's about the people, but structures and church dynamics and the way church has been done throughout the ages has caused so much hurt and so much pain. And God wants us to love His people again. Maybe you're listening here this morning and you've been hurt by people in church. You've got such a disappointment in the people of God. And I want to say this morning's message is for you. God wants you to repent of that, to walk away from the devil's hold on your life. It's the church of the living God, friends. The church and the body of Christ is the church of the living God. Doesn't matter how bad it is, doesn't matter how imperfect it is, the church is not perfect, but it's still God's bride. It's still His body. And we need to sometimes lower our expectations of other believers in order that we can just love people again. And sometimes those expectations are so high for ourselves, and that brings me back to point number two. You need to love yourself, lower the expectation on yourself and on people that have been placed there by the devil. And there is a call for unity in these last days like never before. I was privileged to live stream on Facebook a meeting on Monday this week where there were about 300 or 400 leaders gathered on a Zoom meeting talking about the unity of the body of Christ, talking about these times in South Africa and Africa where God wants to heal our nation and the nations of this continent and ultimately the nations of the world. And He's calling for a unity. And it was such a blessing to see the need for believers to get together, for churches to lay down their agendas and their own kingdoms and say, Lord, we want Your kingdom to come. But this unity is not going to happen without a love that is poured out in our hearts for the body of Christ. You know, I don't know about you, but this lockdown time has been such a blessing for our family. I can honestly testify. The kids are in such unity. They have bonded. And yes, they still fight and there's crying and there's anger and stuff, but there's such a unity that I've seen God establish in our kids. And then even between us in our marriage and between all five of us, it's been incredible. And it's something that God has done. He's forced us to be quiet, to not rush around and run like crazy after everything out there, and to focus on each other and to have such a love established in our family that we are so excited to share this love with the world around us. And that is what God wants to do in this time. He wants us to be so loving of each other, specifically now the body of Christ and our family and the people that are in our church. And so I want to encourage you to tap into what God is doing, to tap into relationships in your family, your natural family, where you are, but also let's take it into the church, our local church. And we've come up with a strategy, and I want you to embrace this. We've divided all our people into smaller connect groups. We had some connect groups that were very big, 15 to 20 people. Now it's under 10 people, maximum 8 or 9 people at the moment, but mainly 6, 7 smaller groups where people can really start to get to know each other and get to love each other and spend time around the Word, spend time praying. I want you to embrace this time because God is calling us to love each other with such a sacrificial and a deep love that this love is going to be almost bottled up, that it's going to overflow into the world around us. And that brings me to the last point this morning. Not only does God want us to love Him, to love ourselves, and to love the body of Christ and the people in our church family, but God wants us, friends, this morning to love the world around us, to love the lost. We mustn't love the world and the things of the world. We must love the people of this world because God loves the lost. Amen. God loves unbelievers, and we were all at that place at one time in our lives. I'm going to talk more about this next week, about how to reach out, about really preaching the gospel as a witness before Jesus is going to come back. But we need to first ask the Lord for a love in our hearts for the lost and the broken and those who are marginalized. We were all there, friends. We were never saved from the beginning. We were all at a place where we were lost. We were once lost, but now we are found. I want you to think about that place where you were before you were saved by Jesus Christ. Think about that, that you can have a heart of compassion, a soft heart, an understanding heart, a merciful heart, an unselfish heart, that you can think about other people in this time. Because God is calling us to love the lost. Amen. Romans 5 verse 8 says an incredible thing. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. What a great love we have in Jesus Christ. And we need to share that love. We need to experience that love again. And maybe we need to come back to our first love. Maybe some of us need to be born again today and saved again and just come back to your first love. Because you've lost the love of God. You've lost the passion that God has for you. And you need to start to love yourself again, love God, love the body of Christ, and then love those who are not in the kingdom yet and who could potentially go to hell if they die. And I want to say this morning that all of this, to love God, to love ourselves, to love the body of Christ, and to love the lost in this world, all of this, friends, is very difficult. In fact, it's pretty impossible in our own strength. It is impossible. And we need to realize that. And the gospel, the good news today, is that God has made a way for us to be able to do this. He died, he rose again, he went up to heaven, and then he did something amazing. He poured out his spirit on all flesh in these last days. The Bible prophesies in Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2 as well, that in these last days I will pour out my spirit. And it happened at Pentecost. God poured out his Holy Spirit. And I want to say this morning, this love is impossible. To get your lamp burning brightly and shining with this love I've just talked about now is impossible without the oil. And the oil is the Holy Spirit this morning. The Holy Spirit made such a profound impact in my life. The Holy Spirit called me. Jesus called me by His Spirit into ministry and into love, this love, because I had to deal with this love. I realized I don't really love God. And I don't really love myself, and I don't really love people, let alone the body of Christ. But God delivered me, and God gave me such a love for Him, such a love for myself, such a love for His body. That's why I'm in the ministry. And then He's given me such a love for the lost and the world out there by His Holy Spirit. And I want to say this morning, God poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says He poured out His love by His Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not filled with this oil that the lamps of the virgins talk here about, where some will not have enough oil, some are not continually filled with the Spirit. They maybe started off in the Spirit, they didn't have enough of the Spirit. Then I want to say to you, today is your day to be refilled with the Holy Spirit again. Because I want to say the oil in our lamps is the Holy Spirit. The oil that's going to keep us burning is the Holy Spirit of God. The fire that keeps us burning, that same fire that was poured out upon the apostles waiting in the upper room, they received tongues of fire. And you know what that was? It was love. It was the love of God that burnt in them, that they can burn with love. And that same Holy Spirit wants to be poured out upon your life afresh today. And maybe you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you to ask Jesus to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray for that for all of us right now, that we be refilled with the Holy Spirit, that we can burn with the love of God, to love ourselves, to love the body of Christ, and to love the lost in this world. Won't you pray with me this morning? I'm finished, and I trust that you're blessed by this morning's message, but I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with that oil, that you're not like the five foolish virgins, that you don't run out of oil in these last days, that you don't grow cold, that you don't let sin abound in your life and let lawlessness take over and let offense and hatred and all these terrible things that the devil wants to come against us and bring against us. I want you to counteract that through one thing: be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, with the fire of God, with His burning love. Let's pray together this morning and just surrender again and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Won't you do that this morning as we pray together? Father, I pray for each one listening here this morning to this message. I pray for each one watching, Lord, that they would encounter You, that they would encounter the love of the Holy Spirit, the oil that is in the lamps of the virgins that kept burning, and that you entered, you allowed them to enter into your presence, Lord, at the end, Lord. And I pray, Jesus, that you would baptize us right now, all of us that are listening or watching this, that you would baptize each one with your Holy Spirit and with fire. Lord, that we can burn with your love. Lord, we repent of lukewarmness. We repent of growing cold, Lord, and we ask that you would anoint us again. Anoint us with the fire and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Won't you cry out to God right now, there where you are? I want to pray this prayer and say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I yield to your Spirit. I ask you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with fire so that I can love, so that I can burn with love for you, God, for myself, for the body of Christ, your body, your bride, and for the world out there. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I trust that you are excited and experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit as I'm talking right now, and that you can be filled again with the fire of God, that you can burn with love in Jesus' name. See you next week. Have a great time. God bless you.